Good morning again, and let me start off by saying Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and all the fathers. Today is the day that we take a moment, however we're doing it. I know this year we're probably getting creative, not sure that restaurants will be packed with visitors today because of the pandemic. But however you are choosing today to honor your father, we want to join in as a church family in honoring dads and fathers who they're not, know that we're not just honoring those who have children, because there are several men who don't have children of their own that God has put in the lives of others. They've served the role of father's figure, and we want to honor them as well. So today, don't miss in adding our voice to the chorus of Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Just watch the clip that gets us to think about this idea of change the world. I'm praying fervently for change, a big change. In 1964, one of my favorite singers, Sam Cooke, he released a song that has been an anthem for years. It was a song born out of the disappointment of being turned away from staying in a whites-only motel. Sam Cooke was African-American, and he was disappointed. He was hurt. He was angry for being turned away at this whites-only motel. The pain, the anger, and the frustration led to one of Sam Cooke's best compositions, a song entitled "A Change Is Gonna Come." That song represents the sentiment of many of us in our world. We are eager for change to come. I want us to change this war-ravaged world that is addicted to immorality. I want us to change this war world that is ravaged with war to a world that's full of peace. I want this world to change into a world that is addicted to God, that craves the way of God. I want us to change from a world that wastes the world's resources to a world that shares and takes care of the earth. I want us to change from a world that isn't full of people, that's always looking out for themselves and what they can get, only what they can get, seeking out their own interests, but changed into a world that is full of people genuinely seeking out the best interest of others. That is the definition of love, by the way. I want change. I'm guessing many of you want change. And even as so many are troubled for a myriad of reasons, the song I referred to so beautifully captures our predicament and our desire with these lyrics. There have been times that I thought I wouldn't last for long. Now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I believe a change is gonna come because I believe in God. I believe in the power of God, and I believe in God's way that has been transforming this world ever since day one. Even after the first humans messed up in the Garden of Eden, God continued to change this world. And so I know that a change is gonna come. We want the world to change. We want other people to change. We want people to think the right things, exhibit the right behavior, and say the right things. We want systems to change. We want schools to change. We want governments to change. We want churches to change. We want our spouses to change. We want our kids to change. We want our parents to change. We want our neighbors to change. Church, when is the last time you honestly had a desire for you to change? When is the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I need to change. I need to change my life. I need to change my attitude. I need a personality change. I need a mind-altering change. My guess is that we rarely possess a strong desire to change. Sure, we may have put on a few pounds, and we might say we need to change our eating habits, or we need to exercise more, change our physical activity. But when it comes to who we are at our core, rarely do we think or believe that we need change individually. Me, Dion, I rarely think that I need change. And I get that. Many of us are really good people. We were raised in good homes by good people. We're good church-going folks. We're good people who seek to do good things. And most every time we try to do the best thing, the good thing, we try our best to do our best, to be our best for God. Church, last week we began a new sermon series entitled We Are. And during this series, I want us to explore some of the biblical designations affixed to the people of God. Last week, we heard from the mouth of Jesus. We heard straight from his lips that we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. We are a city on a hill, a beacon for the world to see. We follow Jesus in being agents of change in this world, seeking to restore God's way and seeking to reverse the misfortunes wrought by sin and injustice and oppression and hate. Following Jesus' lead, we are to illuminate the earth and give the earth some flavor. On the topic of change, though, let us consider this, that we are clay. We are clay. This is a reading from Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil to make your name known in your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned because you hid yourself. We transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. You have hidden your face from us, have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Here is a text that offers a classic comparison between God and humans. The comparison is highlighted as a way to describe the scenario and the predicament in which humans find themselves. This we hear about God from the text, that God in verse 3, that God is a doer of awesome deeds. The mountains quake at his presence. We sing songs and we pray prayers and we say things that describe the wonders and the awesome deeds of God. This text describes God as being a God, that there is no God besides this God in verse number 4. Verse number 4 says God works for those who wait for him, and that God in verse number 5 stands by those who do right. And verse number 5, God gets angry at sin. Verse number 8, God is Father. There is a lot here said about God that we could continue to go on and just preach a sermon about who God is. But comparatively speaking, there is not a lot said here about humans. The text says that we have become like one who is unclean. All of our deeds, verse number 6, are like unclean cloths or filthy rags. Says we are clay. In on that phrase, we are clay. We are the work of your hand. Whose hand? Goes back to describing who God is. On shapes and forms, we are clay, the work of the potter's, the potter. That's God, one who we just spoke of moments ago, is the one who forms all things. Potter, God who is the doer of things. God who makes. He's the God who works for those who wait. He's the God who stands by those who do right. We are clay in his hands. God is the master craftsman, creating us from dust and breathing life into our nostrils. And because of his mastery, we have life. God, as this master craftsman, this potter, he knows every nook, cranny of our being. He knows our heart. He knows everything about it, everything in it. He knows our spirit. He knows what makes us tick. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what is in need of repair or reshaping or remodeling or removal, or reconditioning, or replacing. With God having such an intimate knowledge of what is needed for us, there is only one thing that stands in the way of experiencing the type of change and transformation that is needed in our lives. And dare I suggest the thing that often gets in the way is us. You stand in the way of God's transformation in your life. I stand in the way of God's transformation in my life. The church often stands in the way of God's transformation of the church. We stand in the way. Why? Why do you ask? Because we're smart. Because we're brilliant. We stand in the way because we think we know more than God. I recently went to my family doctor for a physical, just a normal physical. She does all the things that she does at a physical. She takes my blood pressure. She takes out her stethoscope and she puts it in, you know, the earpiece in her ears, and she takes the thingy and she puts it on my chest and on my back to listen to my hearing. And I saw her have like a puzzled look on her face. And so I said, Dr. Ndife, this is my doctor. I took her stethoscope and I took him and I put him in my ear and I started listening to my own heart, listening to my own back. And that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I remember when my youngest daughter was born, Kira. You know, my wife had a previous C-section, and as they were going in to get my youngest daughter, they noticed that there was a lot of scar tissue there, and they were having a hard time getting through the scar tissue to get Kira out during this scheduled C-section. And so I was in the room with Christy as they were performing that, and they were over there doing their thing, and they were, you know, wiping sweat off their head because, man, it was hard to get through some of the scar tissue. And I saw that they were having some trouble, so I was next to Christy, you know, standing next to her, sitting next to her. I thought, hey, let me go help. And I went over to where the doctors were, and I took the scalpel, and I went in, and I went and got through. That sounds even more ridiculous, doesn't it? That sounds ridiculous. How ridiculous does it sound when it comes to what needs to be done in our lives, and God is doing a transformative work, when God is doing a changing work, and we get in the way of God's work? And we say, no, God, I got this. I'll do this. I'll fix this. I'll change this. I'll remodel this. I'll reshape this. Sounds ridiculous. But oftentimes we ask God to step aside, don't we? Step aside, God. Let me fix my life. Let me fix my problems. Let me fix my souls. We often get in the way. And it's that moment that we need to be brought to our knees, that it needs to be revealed how sinful we are, how full of iniquity we are, how inadequate we are to fix what's going on. That's what the people of God are doing here in Isaiah, confessing to God on their knees. And in that confession, they say, we are clay in the hands of a potter. Why this potter? Because it is this potter who formed our inward parts and knit us together in the womb of our mothers. We are clay in the hands of a potter. Why this potter? Well, this is a potter who fearfully and wonderfully made us. We are clay in the hands of a potter. Why this potter? Because it's this potter whose name is majestic in all of the earth. There's no God like this God. We are clay in the hands of a potter. Why this potter? Because it's this potter who knows the number of hairs that I have on my head, the number of hairs on my body. We are clay in the hands of a potter. Why this potter? Because it's this potter who created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We are clay in the hands of a potter. Why this potter? Because it's this potter who gave us the Holy Spirit so that we don't conform to this world, but are transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are clay. So have thine own way, Lord. Just have thine own way. You are the potter and we are the clay. We are clay. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God. fall fresh on me. Any change we want to see in the world needs to start with you and with me. Any change that will take place in you and me starts when you and me confess to God that we are clay. It may be that by confessing that we are clay, that we're confessing our sin to God. It may be that when we confess that we are clay, we are confessing our unwillingness, our tendency to be unwilling to yield to God's way. It may be that when we confess that we are clay, we are confessing our weakness and inability to do what only God can do. It may be that we, by confessing that we are clay, are acknowledging our limitations, placing ourselves in the hand of a potter. We have a potter who can take us with our limitations to limitless depths. To him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Like this guy by the name of Brett. Brett has some limitations. He has a physical limitation. Appearance of his mouth. But Brett uses his mouth to utter beautiful words, like in this powerful spoken word piece. Listen to how Brett speaks of how God is molding him, shaping him, and using him. Let's watch this video.
Media seemed to give the me idea. What I heard and saw there was fly, and I would have done anything to be that guy. So I blinded myself with the attitude I presented, the things that I wore, and the life I represented. I disowned the idea of his throne because as far as I had known, swag is what kept me from being alone, because that's what I was told. But this couldn't have been true, because when I looked in the mirror, no matter what I seemed to do, how I tried to dress, who I dated, or what I expressed, the only thing looking back at me was nothingness. I saw the fresh style, the blue eyes, and the crooked smile, but something was missing within me. And that's when it hit me. I wasn't listening. I was following all the lefts, rights, ups, down, round and rounds. I had tied myself up in confusion. The illusions around me I thought had made me fly were just grounding. All my life I've been focused on not being me, but being them. Never once think about asking God to open his arms and take me in. I've been disoriented with the stripe that Satan had so proudly placed in my life, and that wasn't right. I need to be taken from the darkness to the light and understand that to truly know me, I had to be aware of who I was made to be. I had to let God mold me from my old being and stop fleeing back to the worldly things made to be so appealing. Therefore, I opened my heart knowing I'd be dealing with persecution every day. Whatever, I signed that contract anyway, and now Satan is scared of me. I'm his enemy. With God on my side, I have supremacy. But this wasn't easy. I'd open my eyes and realize that without God, my life would be deprived of vitality. I would've been stuck with the mentality that life was just a bare journey with no happy ending. But instead, God has shown me the beauty of his world and the remedy to knowing my identity.
Isn't it a blessing to see how God can use us with our limitations, with our flaws, with our brokenness, with our weaknesses, use us to do powerful things? That was a powerful spoken word by Brett. And I pray that it's an encouragement to get out of the way. All those times when we've gotten in the way of God changing us and transforming us. May it be an invitation for us to get out of the way and let God do in our lives what he needs to do in our lives. Because he is the potter and we are the clay. I don't know much about pottery. I don't know much about working with clay. I've watched a number of videos. We'll watch a video here shortly of some clay being made. I know that it starts as a lump. Potter bangs it and hits it and crushes it. It does what the potter needs to do to get it to the right. When he puts it on a spinning wheel, there's times where he's got to make sure that it's straight and centered. And then there's times when the clay is massaged and smooth, and goes through a lot. I imagine that's like our lives. We go through a lot. We go through a lot as God has us in his hands, molding us, breaking us, shaping us, reforming us to the beauty that we were meant to be for this. Church, let's get out of the way, because we are clay. I want to invite you. I want to invite you to confess your sin to God. I want to invite you to confess your brokenness to God. I want to invite you to confess your limitations and your inadequacies to God. Fall on your knees and pray that God would be your potter. Be clay in his hands. Call for the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on you so that the potter will mold you, make you, heal you, use. If the church could be of service to you, you confess your brokenness to God, I would ask that you would let us know. Let us know in the chat section. Let the church know. Use the prayer request button. Let the church know how we can help you fall into the arms of God, the potter, and confess to him that you are clay, that you want him to make you, shape you, and use you. Maybe after molding you and making you and using you, he will then use you to be the change in the world so desired to be. I want change in this world, but I confess to you that oftentimes I get in the way of God changing me and transforming me. So I don't want to ask you to do anything that I'm unwilling to do. I'm confessing to God right now that I'm clay and he's my potter. I want him to change me, mold me, shape me. If we can pray for you, please let us know. If there's anything that we can do to help you in your walk with God, please let us know. Let's pray. Holy God in heaven, we thank you that your power has been demonstrated through the ages. We thank you that your presence causes mountains to shake and oceans to roar. Thank you that you have been on full display and you have displayed your ability to change things, to shape things, make things, to remodel, do all the things that is necessary. Order, blessing. So God, as we have witnessed you in nature doing what you do, God, I'm praying that we would get out of the way and let you do what you need to do in our lives. because we are clay, our potter. God, forgive us trying to do our things our own way. We're confessing to you that is no longer our desire. Our desire is to give our heart to you, all of our heart, heart, soul, mind, soul, all of it to you, God. Lord, we give you heart, give you our soul. We confess to live for you alone. God, in this world that is in desperate need of change and transformation, I pray that we would be agents of change. But God, before we can be agents of change, God, I pray that we would willingly be recipients of your change in our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.